Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope Incorporated, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Every week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. Just go to the menu tab and choose Ministries. Scroll down until you find Hope for Today. Click on Hope for Today and you'll find all our available teachings. Last week on Hope for Today, we were studying from Luke chapter 1, verse 80 through Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Our study was titled Journey to Bethlehem. In our study, we noted there are several principal actors in the divine drama of Christ's birth. The first actor was a prophet named John. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he prepared the way for Jesus and his ministry. The second actor was a sovereign ruler, Caesar Augustus. He gave the decree that resulted in Joseph and Mary's journey to Bethlehem. While he surely did not know it, he was being used by God, the sovereign creator, to accomplish the prophecies of many hundreds of years. So now today, as we continue our study, we will note additional actors on the divine stage. As we begin, I will read the text, Luke chapter 1, verse 80, through Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And the child John grew, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Since God needed a way to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem to fulfill his pre-creation plan of salvation, he used the Roman emperor's edict of a census to accomplish that plan. His plan affected not only Joseph and Mary, but everyone else in the whole region of Palestine. Thus, God had the leading role on the stage of human history, arranging the details that introduce us to the next actors in the divine drama. And those next actors are an obedient couple. Joseph models for us the character of a good citizen. Upon hearing the edict of the emperor, he prepares to leave Nazareth for his ancestral home of Bethlehem. The text says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed or enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child." Historical records suggest that the Romans may have required all adults from a household to appear for the purpose of registration. This may have been the primary reason Joseph, whom we later see as a very compassionate and devoted husband, took his very pregnant wife along on the 80-mile journey to Bethlehem. But we also know that God was continuing to orchestrate the whole process to accomplish his plans for the birth of Jesus. Certainly, there would have been other reasons for Joseph to take Mary with him from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Knowing human nature, we can surely imagine the gossip that was circulating in Nazareth about Mary's pregnancy. Unfortunately, you and I also know that this kind of gossip is not confined to unbelieving scoffers, but sadly is also found among the people of God. So both Joseph and Mary could have been under a significant amount of emotional stress from their unusual circumstances. Traveling to Bethlehem and taking up residence there would remove much of that stress. And here too we see the sovereign God at work. As devoted followers of Jehovah, both Joseph and Mary most likely knew about Micah's prophecy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's Micah 5:2. Since Bethlehem was the birthplace of David, and Jesus was to be born of David's family line, then it was necessary for Mary to travel with Joseph so these prophecies could be fulfilled. And it's interesting that their attachment to Bethlehem became so strong in the Holy Family that it later took special divine direction by way of a dream to persuade Joseph to leave Bethlehem and return to Galilee. You'll find a record of that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 22. Now, I know you've seen pictures of Mary and Joseph traveling along a lonely road to Bethlehem with Mary riding on a donkey. We see those pictures on greeting cards, calendars, and other items, but they have little, if any, biblical facts to support them. There's a reason why the gospel narratives leave out many details of this incident and others in the life of Jesus. The reason is so we can learn and concentrate on what really matters. The writer's contrast was between the royal birthplace that this son of David deserved and the humble one he actually received. His exclusion from human society anticipated the rejection that he would continue to experience throughout his ministry. As Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem, it's more likely that they traveled with a group, a caravan, rather than traveling alone. It was indeed a much more common way to travel, and it provided a measure of protection for the travelers. There is safety in numbers. As for Mary riding on a donkey, it's possible, but it's not likely given the poverty of this couple. And that is one of the important points in this whole narrative, indeed in the whole narrative of Jesus' life, his identification with the poor and the outcasts. This was the subject, you'll recall, of numerous prophecies like Isaiah 53:12, Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, Ezekiel 34:16, and many others. Now some might object to the idea of Mary walking to Bethlehem on the basis of Mary's pregnancy. But again, there are a couple of things to consider. First, whoever said walking was harmful for a pregnant woman, especially if she is accustomed to daily exercise and manual labor, as Mary most surely was. We must remember that for most of human history, childbearing was viewed as a natural process, not a medical condition. And then there's another thing. Where do we get the idea that Mary delivered her baby immediately upon reaching Bethlehem? What the text actually says is, while they were there, the days were accomplished. It doesn't say Jesus was born the night they arrived there. It's just my opinion, but based on what I read about Joseph in other scriptures, I believe he would have chosen what was best for Mary with regard to her health and comfort. The picture many of us grew up with is of Joseph banging on the door of the inn, which, by the way, was not like our hotels, and not finding any room available, he hustles Mary off to the stable outback so Jesus can be born that night. Now, I grant you, the previous verse says that Mary was great with child, so she obviously was not too far from her due date. But that still gives no justification for the idea that the couple barely made it to Bethlehem in time. You see, what happens so often as we read the Bible is this. We read it through the filter of our own experience. Now, to a certain degree, that can't be avoided. But as I said earlier, we must try to understand how the original readers would have understood what was written. So we need to approach the Gospels from the mindset of someone living in the Near East. Just for an example, take Da Vinci's famous mural titled The Last Supper. This famous painting by an Italian artist who lived during the 1400s pictures Jesus and his disciples sitting behind a Western-style table sharing the final Passover meal together. Now, do you think this is really the way they celebrated that final meal? You don't if you're paying attention to history and to the Bible itself. So as we look at the birth story, and indeed the gospel accounts, we need to keep in mind the differences in our culture and the culture in which these things were written. The text tells us that because there was no room in the inn, Mary laid Jesus in a manger or crib. In some renderings of the Christmas story, the innkeeper is almost made into a heartless villain. But you know, the fact is, he's not even part of the story. While he certainly had to be there to inform Joseph and Mary that there was no vacancy, his part, as many of us know it, has to be fabricated from our imagination. From my research, I believe the inn referred to in our text was most likely what was called a khan or a caravanserai. I first read of this kind of facility while reading to my children the story of Gladys Elward, pioneer missionary to China. Miss Elward and her companion, Mrs. Lawson, operated just such a facility for the Chinese mule caravans. It was called a khan, and the khan was usually a stone building with a large courtyard that included a well to provide water for the animals and the guests. The courtyard was surrounded on three or four sides by a raised platform called a piazza. From this platform, there were doors that led to a single oblong room or cell where the guests would sleep. The space they rented was the room itself and their part of the raised platform that was open to the courtyard. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Journey to Bethlehem. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this program, Journey to Bethlehem. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this program, Journey to Bethlehem. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to request a copy of this program is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And my email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study on this important topic, Journey to Bethlehem. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.